He drove her to a dead-end road, and things quickly turned physical.
He's got a knife the entire time. In the
Interesting. Go on to see that this was premeditated.
Whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, another evening here at the Fauzi Cave. Tonight, we have a story. Yeah, you got something for us, huh? Something pretty fucked up?
It's pretty fucked up, as always. We only bring the juiciest, cheesiest, disgusting crap.
Well, that or just the, I don't know, man. Some of these just end up being really depressing and stuff, but you know.
It is. This one's pretty fucked up too, man. It's pretty disturbing. I'd say it was a while ago too, last year. Young teenagers, kind of a classic. Funnily enough, it's centered around social media in general, and Instagram, Facebook, other platforms, all that stuff is great. You guys share your life on it, business at all. I have it, John has it, you most likely have it. But of course, as anything else in this fucking world, there's always a dark side to everything. And this story is kinda... Instagram serves as the backdrop hole to it, but not really to blame for such fucking horrendous acts, I would say.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, huh? With all that anonymity that people have on the internet and their ability to essentially create any character or say anything and get away with it. It's unfortunately, for all the good it brings the world, it brings a lot of bad.
I know, man. Like, the psychology behind these things, especially the internet right now and social media, it opened up a whole new world to people where they can ruin your life without even talking to you personally, you know? It's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. Well, so I'm going to assume that the case, clearly the case for tonight is going to be one of these, huh?
It's one of these.
What's going on?
Bianca Devens.
How old was this person?
Recent high school graduate.
Oh, boy.
She was 17.
Oh.
Recent high school graduate living in her hometown right in upstate New York.
Oh, okay. Let me.
Right from your hometown.
Not my hometown, but I will, because she lives all the way up in the north, and just Utica for the people back in the States. It's Utica, but
Utica.
Yeah, it's up in there in the north. It's definitely like in the up what we consider upstate, where it's like the definitely not near the city, but okay. In Utica, New York.
Now, according to Bianca's family, they said that she was very talented and artistic, loving sister and daughter and all that. Like a wonderful young girl. She had troubles in her teenage days, you know. She was accepted in college to study psychology before crazy shit happened.
Right.
You know, like too many teenagers struggle with mental illness in the form of depression, anxiety, borderline disorders and all that. She had all this stuff, and her family was were pretty concerned about her, you know. So she was put under like a psychiatric care for a while. She spent a few months, I think, in a mental health clinic. Things were going great, I guess, but she was one of these teenagers that we all know. Then that's when where trouble came.
Well,
e-girls.
Oh, well, so her parents, they were aware that she was suffering from some things, and they put her in a hospital, and they seeked care for her. That's correct.
Right, and she had daddy issues, I would say, too. Like, her mother always referred to her dad as emotionally abusive, and apparently he wasn't so much present in her life. Teenage life, we've all been there. Depression, anxiety is like something that is there. But when social media and stuff like that is present, it adds up to the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just on these platforms, she found like a relief in these like different worlds, on these different platforms, like Instagram or Discord, 4chan, and all that.
Yeah, that's, and that's something I think, it's a weird double-edged sword. You know, because on one hand,
exactly, yeah.
I mean, I think we all did, right? I think in high school, well, not you know, we're kind of like one of the first generations that got the social media stuff. We were the ones that caught that wave. Yeah. I'm a little older than you, so I grew up, for example, like right around the Facebook boom, right at the end of high school.
And me being from Sia, that phase didn't come to us until 2011. So it's kind of
wow. The same. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, you guys didn't get it until a little later, but for a lot of people, it's a refuge, right, you know, that's where people sort of find the communities of other people that are like-minded and people that they get along with. And I mean, I've, you know, for Bianca, as it is for many, many teenagers, that's the case. Yeah. But, you kind of get the good and the bad, I suppose, which I'm sure you're going to go into.
Right. So as we say, she developed quite the reputation amongst her followers as an e-girl. And by followers, I don't mean just random Instagram followers. I mean that certain followers who just stalked her, you know, and had like a whole groups apparently just about her to orbit her, as the terms say, you know, which means like simping over her.
Oh, okay. Instagram. What year did all this begin, by the way? What year are we talking here?
2019, like early 2019.
Oh, this is really recent. This is like only 2 years ago at best. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like.
Yeah. So this is definitely like peak e-girl, TikTok, IG.
Right, era. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Around that time, yeah. And for her, Instagram was the main source, you know, of these things, even though she didn't have that much following, but she managed to have a couple of clowns orbit around her. And that's where she met 21-year-old Brandon Clark in April 2019. Oh, after exchanging messages with him for a while, their friendship soon grew stronger, and later they met in person, with Clark attending her high school graduation party. And that was the first time, apparently, they met each other. She counted him as a friend, you know, a family friend. Even her family, they said he was friendly, family friend, her friend.
I can...
In a short period of that online friendship...
Already kind of see where this one is headed. Oh, boy.
Right, you know, when you friend zone someone, it gets dark for some people.
Okay, so, I mean, this kid went over to her house, met the parents, but she knew him as, like you said before, a family friend. She was like, he's just my family, he's a friend of the families, and blah, blah, blah. Like, she clearly sent him to the shadow realm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in a short period, that friendship mutated into a one-sided romantic one in the real world.
Oh.
Bianca's mother described him as charming and polite. Even all her family saw him as just like a family friend. On the other hand, Brandon wanted more, occasionally calling himself his boyfriend, despite her saying otherwise.
Oh, so he was like just making up. He was completely delusional. Like this guy thought, okay, this is like, okay,
yeah,
he's like
obsessed. This guy had an obsession.
This is like level 100 simp mode. He's simping like echelon 10.
It was fucking crazy, man. Like, there was no evidence, they say, in the beginning that he was abusive. He didn't show any signs of like a stalker or incel. He was very quiet. And for me, that triggers the signs of you should be careful.
Right. I mean, these things also take a while as well. I mean, and not only that, but yeah, I mean, you know, I guess the signs came later, you know, well, we're going to find out, but it's not something that you see immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, I mean, if he's already calling, he's already calling her his girlfriend, and they're
nothing, like literally just hanging out friends. You just met the girl. And apparently, like, as we said, he had an obsession with her, because when they checked his internet history, it shows that he was literally obsessed with her. Like, he saved every photo of her and regularly Googled her name everywhere and followed her and stalked her on all the social media she had, just harassing her frequently, sending her messages nonstop. It was like overboard, you know, a little bit.
Oh, see, that's the other fear, right? It's the fact that the computer tells the real story. The history tells the real story. But you'll never, you know, it. But you don't find out until it's too late, because who's going to, you know, other than him, who's going to check his history, right?
Yeah. One of their mutual activities were drugs and pot, which he would supply to her in order to spend time with her.
All right. There you go. A little more of the SIMP.
There you go. A little background about Brandon Clark. He grew up apparently in an unstable, messed up house where his father regularly abused his mother in front of the kids. And at one time he held a knife to the mother's throat for several hours. So the kid was placed in a state foster care and he grew up fucked up. So you can kind of see some childhood issues as well.
He's got, I guess, daddy issues himself, you know? Abusive dad.
Yeah.
Okay, you know.
So, on the night of July 13th, 2019, Canadian singer Nicole Dolaganger, I don't know that singer, but apparently never she was performing person. A show in New York City. Some teenage crap, I don't know, whatever. So, Bianca and Brandon and another male friend of them, who was named Alex, they attended the concert. And he was about 4 hours south of Utica. According to police reports, they got into an argument right in the middle of the concert. Why? Because Brandon saw Bianca kissing someone else.
Oh, no. So they go to the concert and Brandon sees the girl kissing another guy. Oh,
yeah.
Every simp's worst nightmare.
But who was that other guy? Who was that other guy? Can you guess?
I would not be able to guess.
It was the other male friend, Alex, the third guy who came with them.
So this Brandon guy and this Alex guy know each other. They're friends themselves.
Right, yeah. Oh. She went with these two guys, made out with one, where the other one thought she was his girlfriend for some reason. You can see where this is going.
Yeah, I mean, white dudes, white people from upstate New York, they're teenagers, like, this is headed basically, exactly where we know. Oh my god, dude. Yeah. Simps, obsessive, incel guys that, okay.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Oh boy. Well, so not Alex. Alex is having the time of his life. This Alex kid is...
He's
on cloud nine.
Okay.
Yeah. Go on.
Okay, so the concert is over. The argument didn't seem to end there. As soon as they left afterwards, sometime around 10 p.m., Brandon drove his car with Bianca, where, according to police, the argument had progressed to a point in which Brandon took out a large knife with a black blade, and things quickly turned physical.
Whoa. Okay, wait. So, just a quick little note here. He's got a knife the entire time in the...
Interesting. Go on to see that this was premeditated.
Whoa. Okay, this just added a whole other layer to the story, because I'm thinking, okay, this kid is freaking out because he's in love with this girl. She doesn't love him back, but... this kid's got a freaking giant knife in his car.
Wanted you to think.
Okay,
so
continue.
Things got physical pretty quickly after he snapped that knife out. And the bastard fatally attacked her with the knife, slitting her throat open.
Oh, man. That's, I mean, it's kind of something I felt was coming just because of how the story was progressing, and
it's just fucked terrifying. Up, and it's shocking, you know, like how,
Jesus.
Here's this fucked up part. Bianca's attack was so brutal, actually, that her head was nearly decapitated from her body.
Oh my god, are you serious?
Jesus, it was fucked up.
So, this kid, oh man, like... this kid now, nearly decapitated
after and he killed someone. So a pop quiz: what does a killer do after brutally murdering someone, in your opinion? Like, what, run or call the police, pretend to be a victim, or just like, you imagine anything? This guy literally left everything and did the opposite, which is exactly what, like, you know, incels and people who's fucked up in the head does in this kind of situation. Something that nobody would ever expect, which is, of course, it has to be stupid.
I mean, definitely he went in another direction. But you know what? I'm not surprised to hear that, only because this guy strikes me as, I guess, look, he just, I mean, the fact that he nearly, let's not get too into the details of this, but if he nearly cleaned her head off of her body, that means that he went absolutely batshit. You know, you can, I mean, you can imagine just how savage his attack was, that he continued for a long time. So at this point, he's gone completely mental. He's not even in his own.
Yeah, it's, man, it's the dark side to hatred and holding grudges. And like this evil consumes this people. And we've seen it before, but this is a different level too, you know, because it's more of a jealousy too, you know. It's more of, if I can't have it, you can't have it either. Nobody can. It's one of
just unbelievably selfish. Like, it's so selfish to just an entitlement, you know, the entitlement to think that somebody belongs to you. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Anywho,
it is.
So what does he do exactly? So what does this guy do after he murders this girl?
Well, what he does goes on to Echo until now online, because it's fucked up. Oh. He turned to Instagram, basically.
Oh.
On July 14th, 2019, just before dawn, that was when everything happened. He was still at the scene of the crime, and he went on to post several Instagram stories showing the horrific crime that had taken place.
Oh, shit. He goes on Instagram and he posts it. Like, what does he do? Like a live video type of thing? Like, what the hell is this kid doing?
Kinda. He posted a still framed photo of the movie Fight Club first.
Oh,
that was
fuck.
His first.
Fuck's sakes.
After that, he posted a photo taken in his car with the words, Here comes hell, it's redemption, right? Which is from the song Black Cadillac by the band Hollywood Undead.
Oh, that's so lame. Oh,
however,
God, this gets... Okay.
Can it... like, it gets more lame than this. Like, this guy is a fucking idiot. That's what it is.
Yeah. Idiot, however, loser, piece of garbage.
Yeah. He saved the worst for last, man. Like, with the final Instagram story in his unsettling series was a blurry photograph with what seemed to be a woman's bloody torso. Captioned, "I'm sorry, Bianca."
Oh my god, dude. Is okay.
And I managed to find the photos. I'm not gonna like go and post them or like tell anybody to go and find them, because I mean, this is the first time we're recording long distance, so I won't be able to actually show you the photos. Which is kind of like,
I don't know if I don't think
sucks,
I want to see them either.
Yeah, it's, man, it's fucking disturbing. It's fucked up.
Oh, Jesus.
So,
dude.
Still not satisfied with just posting his message across on Instagram. After a while, by about 6 a.m., more graphic images of Bianca's slain body were posted on Discord and Instagram too. Like, it was going crazy, because this motherfucker had like a group on Discord with all these simps, some of his friends too. He posted a picture of Bianca's body with the caption, "Sorry fuckers, you're going to have to find someone else to orbit."
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So he...
I have screenshots of the chat of Discord. It's pretty fucked up too. I wanted to read a little bit from it, because it's not mentioned in any other resources.
Yeah, and just as a very quick thing too, you know, this is I'm gonna assume this is gonna be a little graphic, and when you consider the context, it's very, very strong material. I mean, the pictures, obviously, that will never be shared, but the words,
no, because,
you know,
it's
just
kind
a little
of
viewer,
but I'm gonna
viewer discretion for the weak of heart, because this is heavy stuff.
He says this mean stupid thing. People start, like, some of them were like, "What the fuck?" Other people were like laughing. Other people were like being weird. And this guy was like, you know, "Oh, is that your date from today?" It was fucking weird to me that some people were acting like so fucking disturbing, man. As if these people didn't commit any crime, but the way they answer in these chats shows you how, like, at any moment they could be him.
Right. Well, the fact that they're not, like, I guess the fact that they're not horrified and that they're not concerned, especially for this girl, that they're all in, I mean, aren't, this is a group of guys that all, that were all in love with this girl. Is that correct? This was like a fan group for Bianca Devins. Is that it?
Kinda.
Yeah. From so like, yeah, the shocking reaction that these people are all here. Like what? I mean, what kind of reaction is that? You know, to a human being. I mean, yeah. This should cause horror. Or maybe they were like, oh, this is maybe a prank. Like they would never believe that this is real. That's the only thing I could think of.
That happened too. But after like people checked right away, called her family because they were friends of hers in that group apparently. Because most of them were her friends too. That's how the police got called as well, and her family knew about this. And some guy asked him, like, what the fuck? Who is she? And he's like, my fucking car. I f*** Bianca, dumbass. Anyways, remember to subscribe to PewDiePie. Also, to the f*** Alex with the Chinese username. Hope it was worth it. She was gonna go home today.
Oh, well...
Like, can you fucking imagine what jealousy and madness can cause you to fucking do? Like,
it's
especially these motherfuckers. It's
you know, it's
anyway. There's more to this, but I'm not gonna get into like the conversation because it's fucked up.
There's a conversation.
Like the group thing, and there's some screenshots too from messages between her and this motherfucker, who he just sends like. Bro, like full pages of messages is what he sends her. Like full pages. And she replies with just like no or one word. And he would send like full pages of messages. Like that's how you know something is going on. Something wrong is going to happen.
Oh, so okay. So there's like, so I guess this kid had already done some weird shit around her for a very long time. And
yeah,
she was pretty much blowing him off. Like, hey, look, dude, I'm not interested. And there was like, yeah, so she knew that this kid was like, she predicted he was, yeah, that he was in love with her.
It's going to happen because, yeah, not that, that something bad is going to happen.
Oh, shit.
I have one of her social media, like stories, a post of her crying and says, the caption, it says, I'm going to die. But I assume he was just one of these like an anxiety, depression photos, people like posting shit saying I'm gonna die or like.
Or it was unrelated. It wasn't related to the guy.
Yeah, probably wasn't.
Okay.
Anyway, where was I? I'm looking at my notes over here. About we said what, 7 a.m. in the morning right now. He sent that shit on Discord. Police were called, and around 7:20 a.m., the police arrived at the scene of the crime, being dispatched after they had received numerous calls from people, you know, all around the place. And they received different calls from different states as well. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And Brandon himself called the cops too, and he said, "My name is Brandon. The victim is Bianca Michelle Devins. I'm not going to stay on the phone for long because I still need to do the suicide part of the murder-suicide."
Oh, so he does he?
Oh, you bet your ass he does. What kind of crazy motherfucker wouldn't do stupid shit like that?
Well, a lot of people get scared, you know, they say they want to do it, but they don't, but...
It's between the two. It's funny that you actually said that. The first officer from the cops arrived to the scene, and he found Brandon's car in a wooded spot near the end of the road, because he was in a fucking dead end. And he spotted him lying on the ground next to the car. However, just when he saw the police approaching, our boy Brandon began to stab himself in the neck with a knife. He then rolled his body and laid across a green tarp next to him that seemed to be covering something on the ground just a short distance from the car, and began taking photos of himself and posting them to Snapchat and Instagram. In the screenshot, he was like bleeding from injuries to his neck, like a lot of blood because he fucking stabbed himself in the neck. Okay, so laying on top of that tarp, the police had found him. The officers asked Brandon what was underneath the tarp, and he had to drop the knife. He just answered, "It's Bianca." As more officers arrived at the scene, they found a letter next to him that said, "May you never forget me." And after a brief struggle, they were able to disarm him and arrest him. And here where they checked his car, and they found knives, ropes, and multiple tools, which was a clear evidence that the murder was premeditated.
Okay, so let's get a little bit more into the premeditation part of it. Because so when he goes to the concert, when he goes to the concert with a girl and with the other guy, so he kind of knew that he was going to kill her that night. Is that it?
We don't know. But from the evidence, from what we've seen, it kind of seemed like it. Or at least he was planning something fucked up. Or he already, long time ago, had these things with him just in case he snapped. I don't know, man. Like, what can you fucking, like, predict what's going on in these motherfuckers' heads?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I guess there's also I don't know, this kid, who knows how delusional he is. I mean, obviously a lot. This kid's, even before he commits this horrific murder, he's clearly out of it, you know, he's whacked out. But he clearly, I think he might be aware that this girl is not interested in him. And he might have had suspicions that she was into this Alex guy. So he started to have a suspicion, perhaps, and then when he goes to the concert and it finally happens and she kisses another guy, it sends him down the deep end. Like, he just goes straight into, like, full-blown psychopath mode.
Yeah, it wasn't just that he kind of had the feeling that she's not into him. She was not into him. He knew, because from the messages that he sent her, she just kept pushing him away. And she had her ways, you know. And do you know, like, what was her name? The Black Dahlia?
The Black Dahlia murder, yeah.
Right. Do you know that she was, like, you know, had her way with the guys just to, like, to fool around? And which is not bad, but, like, she pissed off some people, and that what happened, which is not a justification to the act, you know. I'm just saying that she was that kind of girl, you know. Like, she had her own ways with guys, and
okay, so, you know,
apparently this guy, from what we're seeing here, that he was looking for fame, just like the posting shit online, like this, it's recording, like all these other idiots. It's guys looking for fame in the worst way, you know, worst case scenario. The following day, after receiving an emergency surgery, he didn't die. They took him, fixed him up so he can be miserable for the rest of his life. He was officially charged with a second-degree murder for the brutal killing of Bianca Divins. So the aftermath shows the scary ripple effect of social media here, because the death photos would go viral on the internet and out of control in the next few hours and in the next few days. The BBC reported that while Instagram eventually took Brandon's stories down, screenshots suggested that those stories still remained publicly available for over 20 hours. And of course, since Instagram stories expires in 24 hours, you know how this goes, and people were already taking screenshots, posting them in other websites as well.
Wow. That's around the time everything started to spread out.
So on the Monday following the murder, Brandon's Instagram account profile bio had been updated to "just know that I feel no pain now." So I'm assuming that he updated that shit when he was dying or something to make his profile look cool.
There's also like, So after all the stabs to the neck and he's not dead, what's going on with him? He's at this point, what's going on? He's alive. He got taken in by the police.
Like, yeah. They took him. They did a surgery to his neck and he was fine. And that's where he was charged for second degree murder. The photos of Bianca were being shared to Twitter too at this point and everything else. Bianca's murder has its own trending hashtag as well, which was like "Rib Bianca" and "Pink for Bianca." People were very supportive. Other people were mocking her, which is some people had empathy, others didn't. You know, online social media, it's fucking a mess, man. It's a shit show.
Yeah, it's disgusting. You know, just all the other stuff you could get, just mocking the death of a human being, like this girl who.
Can you imagine?
That's ridiculous, but Yeah, okay.
Due to the attention, this story was going viral, apparently. More and more people were trying to learn more about Brandon and Bianca by going to directly to their Instagram accounts. Brandon gained like thousands of followers, Instagram clicks and all of that. But after that, his account was taken down. Even followers on Bianca's Instagram account were like snowballing and like skyrocketing. She went from 2,000 followers she had prior to her death to over 160,000 within like a week.
Whoa. After her death.
Can you see the irony of this? And it's,
what a strange, it's, yeah, kind
of fucked up, man.
Yeah, like just the amount of people that are attracted now to her death, or, you know, such a bizarre. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of lessons here.
Yeah, it went on to, like, there was so many other garbage Instagram users were using this viral moment to try to capitalize on Bianca's followers' growth and to try to gain more followers of their own. By, there were, like, dozens of, like, spammed accounts with her photos on, you know, and saying, oh, follow me, DM me for full video and picture of Bianca and, like, shit like that. Dude, it was fucking...
disgusting, like just leeches, bro.
Yeah, it's fucking disgusting.
Leeching off of a human being, like just to get followers, so you could show. Oh.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy, man. Can you imagine? Like, people were looking for the photos after being taken down, and special accounts were made in her name just to be like, "Hey, follow me, DM me if you want to see the picture." Like, shit. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
It's such a dark part of society, man. It's such a dark thing.
It is, man. This is what I was gonna say. This somehow shows that people are not that much different from Brandon. If you think about it, like, some people are really, if they had the chance, or if they, you tweak them a little bit or play with their nerves, they might do the same thing or worse. It's fucking terrifying.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have people that under similar circumstances, who knows? You never quite know when they're going to snap.
Like mockery and disrespect in such ways on social media after, like, trying to gain followers off of someone's death. Come on, dude. Like,
yeah. I mean, just trying to ride the coattails of this person who passed away so you could try to, like, get followers by sending her. We'll get more into, like, I guess this philosophical stuff after, I guess, as we close the show,
as we'll always do,
you know, the kind of the especially with these types of this stuff is fascinating when we get into like the social media. This social media stuff, it just reveals so much about society. But anyways,
right, like it's when it's kind of the same thing when Samuel Colt made the gun, the first gun, and he said, now the weak and the strong are even. If you think about it, it's kind of the same thing with social media. Now you can fuck people up from far away just when they invented the gun.
Right, and maybe in a weird way, that's kind of like, maybe that's what Brandon thought he had when he killed Bianca. Because in his own perverse way of thinking, he saw himself as a victim of something, which he's not. He's not a victim of shit. But he thought he was a victim, and he was like, my power is the fact that I can essentially, well, obviously killing her, but also the fact that he could post these things on the internet in front of her fan base, in front of all these people she knows. And that is his domination.
And just like cold, you know, blooded, saying like, "Yeah, go fucking find someone else," or like,
"She was gonna go home
tonight." Yeah, but it's you kiss her, so yeah, she's dead now. Like, go find someone. What? Like, get the fuck out of here! Who the fuck you think you are to have the right just to, you know, say things like that as if nothing happened? And I mean, like, yeah, apparently he had suicidal problems as well, because he did go through with the suicide, lying on top of her, thinking he's like Romeo and Juliet. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, so he had some, like, romantic... He had some, like, romantic...
What do you think, man?
Yeah, sure, he did. Of course he did.
Fall on top of her. stabbed himself in the neck right on top of her and posted some shit saying like, oh, forgive me, everybody, you know, whoever who loved me, thank you, or whoever cared about me, like stupid shit, teenage crap.
Right. He was like, whoa, like I'm going to do Hamlet meets Panic at the Disco. Like he had this whole like,
give me a break.
Romantic.
God damn it.
Fucking twisted
someone's
thing
life
built in his brain.
Got lost in the fucking process of this whole fantasy of fucking simping and all that bullshit.
And a person that had their whole life left, dude, a 17-year-old girl who had her whole future ahead of her, you know? Okay, so what happens?
Yeah. For this rat's trial, he did not plead guilty. He pleaded not guilty to a second-degree murder. Like, can you imagine? So Brandon's sentence was initially scheduled for April 2020, but the trial as a whole was delayed due to the coronavirus pandemic. However, on February the 10th, 2020, he decided to plead guilty instead. And now he faces as much as 25 to life in prison. He was later charged again in prison for promoting prison contraband because an officer busted him with a knife in his cell constructed out of a sharpened toothbrush.
Whoa, so this kid's really going deep, man. He didn't just stop there. Like, he's kind of... look at him. I mean, it didn't stop at the simping.
Being charged again while being in prison. Yeah, like, from what I'm thinking is that probably he made that knife to kill himself again at some point or kill someone. I don't know, man. This motherfucker is like, as we said before, you don't know what's going on in their head. They're like, According to Bianca's mother, she heard from a friend, I think, that Brandon composed a letter to a friend around this time, which shows him bragging and showing off how it felt nothing to kill her. This letter was basically saying how he couldn't handle the thought of her walking out of his life.
Okay, but he said that he can't handle her walking out of his life, but he's also saying that it meant nothing to him when he murdered her.
I mean, he didn't say that. He said it meant nothing for him, but he didn't say that, it was hard for him, the thought of her walking out of her life. It's just that the letter he wrote, it shows that, you know.
Okay.
Later, he did apologize to Bianca's family, which was fucking weird. He changed all his, like, thoughts. And he told this is what he said to the court. I think I need to realize what I did. I can't undo as much as I want to. I need to face it. I apologize to all the people that knew and loved her. I apologize to everyone affected by this, to everyone who had to see the horrific picture of her. I know, sorry, it's not enough, and it won't take back what I did. I wish I had more to give. Which I would say, go fuck yourself.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, in his next court appearance, it was initially scheduled for November 10th, 2020, just around 6 months ago, I think, but we don't know. There was no reports of what came out of this, so I'm assuming that it has been pushed again due to the pandemic.
Yeah, it's probably going to get pushed again. Yeah. These things take a very long time.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, man. Bianca's mother, was pretty fucked up, of course, as her whole family. But they were grateful for the people who supported the movement Pink for Bianca on Instagram and all social media, because they spread, like, a message to overcome the dark message that was before, like, of, you know, and it was some kind of message of love and non-violence in Bianca's name. And she told the people, she posted something like, you have provided us much comfort in this unimaginably difficult time. So,
that's
she also said that she can still see the photo in some places on the internet, which it's kind of sad because like it puts the mom in this position where she kept searching for her daughters to see if the photo is still there, because it was like she didn't want people to see it, or she didn't want to see it. It kind of fucked up and sad, man.
Oh, well, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, can you imagine that someone's mother has to like stumble upon, or I mean, God forbid, like people, or maybe some douchebag gets a hold of her email and decides to send her images of this, of like,
yeah, that happened. Like, that they were abusing the family, the stepdad with shit like that. That happened too. Like, I told you, man, like there's people out there that they're worse than Brandon. Like it's no difference, like, but in the law, in the, you know, killing people actually or harming people physically is what counts, you know, like harassment from far away online, it's barely recognized.
Yeah, and that's like just as a band or whatever. Yeah. And that should be just as
Which
much.
Is just like, as if worse. You
were, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like if you send, if you were to send that kind of email to somebody, I think you should be arrested. How are you going to send that to somebody? That is as much of an emotional attack as anything. You can't do that. That should have some type of repercussion. You should do some type of jail time for that. Or you can't just do that, man. You can't just start sending people. I mean, that's horrifying, dude. Like, as you say, it's very revealing of society. This, you know, social media and the internet and the amount of the capacity that people have to be evil when they're anonymous, when they don't have to like show their face, and when they can hide behind a computer, or behind a phone, they feel like it's shocking what people, it shows what people really want to do, which is just to, you know, in some cases it's great, right? All the good stuff that comes with it. The people that supported the movement for Bianca and this pink thing on Instagram, that's wonderful. But then you have the underbelly. You have the darkness behind it all. You have these people that are just like relishing the pain and suffering of others, you know?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree. I was wondering if we should actually read a little bit from the messages he fucking sent, or just like ignore it, because. But anyway, I wanted to say a little bit about. I want to talk a little bit about how.
Don't.
No. Different. I know. Different thing. Not the. She had a whole community and a whole thing going on 4chan, and other websites. She was there in the name of OxyChan. And other names as well, and she was known for the people who was used to orbit her. There were people that were saying that the motive behind the killing was because Bianca openly admitted it to having Brandon as only for sexual purposes, which is, I would say, it was probably a part of it, but still, you know, like, that's not a motive. Like, other people saying, like, yeah, well, the motive is just as fucked up as the killing. And I'm like, you can't justify killing someone, you know, by saying, oh, I used you up last night for just, like, sexual purposes. And I'm like, okay, I'm justifying murder now. Like, come on, right. Seriously?
Okay, so, so for the record... So I guess Bianca had, you know, she had said some things on social media before about what, like just
right.
going out with other guys or saying that she cheated on her boyfriend.
Kinda, yeah, stuff like that. But, you know, still, like, I mean, a lot of people does that, you know, that's what it goes back to, the point that you can't justify shit by your own, and like to the point where it gets to committing murder, you know.
Oh, of course not. There's no way. I mean, come on, dude. That's no justification for anything, you know?
Yeah.
And you could also say as well, like, here's the thing. If she has this big following of mostly boys that are into her, there is, you know, like, it's not like if you put yourself out there into the universe, right? And you say, hi, here I am.
Yeah.
You can't blame her because this massive legion of boys are attracted to her and start basically what, kissing her feet and doing everything she likes, and you know, there no one else is putting a gun. They're choosing to do that. They are choosing to fawn over this human being. And
right.
I mean, and if anything, if she did, you know, say some things on social media, then probably a lot of it is these idiots who are blowing up her ego at the same time. If she did do any of that, I mean, it's their fault as well, because they're there, you know, making, putting this person on this pedestal and creating a, you know, becoming fanboys for this person. And, especially like, you know, and like the thing is also, let's not forget, this is a 17-year-old girl. When we're 17, we do stupid things and we say stupid things.
Exactly.
But we don't murder people. That we don't do.
No.
Well, there you have it, guys. It was pretty rough because it kind of fucked me up a little bit after I digged around for these things and found some pretty disturbing shit. But we're not going to share any of that fucked up stuff. We're just going to be respectful and... as we always say, everybody keep an eye on yourself, take care, and be careful on social media. It's not always, you know, being behind these internet walls means you're safe.
No.
Anyway.
Do you have any last words on this whole philosophical thing going on? Sort of like talking about the state of society, because we talked about it a little bit before, just this idea that this murder is, and the way that the internet reacted to it, and the, you know, just the way that this boy killed his girl and then showed it. What are your final parting thoughts on this?
I don't know, man. I guess this, like, the internet, you know, there, as we said, like, there's so many great things about it that we learned from it and what we're doing, basically. But it opened up a whole dark portal to these messed up minds. Like, same way if you look at it, like, 100 years ago, now they're being creative with these murders and all kind of stuff they're doing.
It's, yeah. It's, the amount of good that the internet brings is great. Brings us together. It allows people to be creative, to be able to do what they like, and not have to go through anybody. But you also have a really, really dark side to it all. And I think when you look at this guy, Brandon, just the fact that he, ultimately you have this person who transmitted his own twisted morality in some way, and you see the fact that he didn't even plead guilty, because in his twisted like logic, he thinks that somehow the world owes him something just because maybe a girl didn't like him, or because he wasn't popular or something, which is ridiculous. And it's very unfortunate that I mean, even though that's been around forever, there's always going to be people out there who are going to feel entitled and are going to be this way. The internet allows them to amplify their voice. And unfortunately, in this case, it happened in the worst way possible. And it ended in really horrific thing where the world is watching somebody get hacked to pieces. It's... Eesh. Christ, man.
Messed up, man.
What a psychological...
Well... This was a new approach, kind of here on this episodes we do here. I guess a different kind of crime, different kind of fucked up shit.
Yes, sir. And another thing too, I do kind of really like these kinds of cases, dude, because there is a lot of hidden. There's a lot of hidden message. How should I say this? There's a lot to dissect when you start going through. Yeah, right. Behind text messages. Stories. We live in a time where their privacy is slowly becoming a thing of the past, and what we're finding, it's really turning the world into this bizarre thing. The world is transforming into a really interesting place for the good, and also unfortunately for the bad with all this. So with that being said, folks, thank you for tuning in. Let us know what you guys think about this new some of these modern cases for and stuff. Sure. I really like them. Fowzi really likes them, and maybe we'll come back with some more of that stuff. But in the meantime, you know, like we said before, stay be very, very careful on social media. Be very, very careful with who you talk to on social media. It can be a very dangerous place sometimes, so be very careful out there. With that being said, as we always say,
sweet dreams.